Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff here. I am joined by the CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We got the band back together on a Wednesday,
it's
Terry.
It's a sneaky, yeah. It's a little... like people are thinking it's Friday.
Yes, yes. No, it is not. We are so for that. We are so sorry.
Our bad.
But we are halfway through the week. There's an advantage.
There we go.
It's hump day. Enjoy.
That's
it,
why
everybody.
I came, so we can say that.
Yes.
Hump day.
Yes. Hump day. We are going to have some fun today. We are going to get into our National Day of Calendar in a little bit. We'll also catch up with Terry in the United Way, find out about all the great things going on over there. I want to touch on the 10 most common laundry fails. It's going to be a good one. I think there's a lot of relatability in that list, I think. 8 things the average American does. We'll touch on that. We're also going to get some other fun stuff. In the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club. A little after Melissa's News, we will get into our our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday with our friends at Quality Plus Printing.
Awesome.
And then in the 9 o'clock hour, we are going to have a ton of fun. Get your usual unusual suspects, then a right stories, good stories of the day. We'll have some entertainment news. But we are going to be joined by our winner of the Stone Age Gem and Minerals giveaway.
Oh, very nice.
Our friends at Stone Age Gem Mineral More and More had this Ethiopian opal ring giveaway for Valentine's Day. And got to find out late yesterday afternoon that we have a winner from Travis and Ashley, who was in charge of this account and everything. And a great job by everybody involved. We had a lot of fun with this. Had a lot of great feedback from people out there. And we have a winner, everyone. And it is Jenny Furkey. There. There's the winning bell.
There we go.
It doesn't count until we use the winning bell. Now it counts.
Congratulations on the big win.
Yeah, congratulations, Jenny. I purposely have not looked at too many of the posts because I wanted to be surprised and hear the...
Oh, to hear her story.
Yeah, hear her story live on the air for the first time because I am a foolish romantic and I am looking forward to it. So I cannot wait to talk to Jenny. She's going to join us a little in the 9 o'clock hour, probably open up the 9 o'clock hour with that. And then we'll get into entertainment news and stuff afterwards. But looking forward to talking with Jenny. That is going to be a lot of fun. We're so excited about this. Thank you so much to everybody that participated, that played along. We had a lot of fun with this one, and I hope we do this again next year.
Is the ring here?
No, Jenny's got it.
Oh, she has it already? Oh, because like I kind of wanted to see it. I saw the picture, but I wanted to like see it.
She is so excited. You might be able to see it through the phone when she calls it.
Perfect.
She sent us a message on our Facebook Messenger and everything, just with the ring and all that. She just seemed so excited. And there are some things in radio that never get old, and giving things away never gets old.
It's super fun, isn't it?
I don't care if
even
it's a
when we do covers, it's awesome.
Just never gets old. It feels so good, and we're so happy about that. So we're looking forward to talk with Jenny a little bit later. That is going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to that, and plenty of other things to get to. But I did want to kick things off, Terry, seeing how you're doing, how things are going at the United Way.
Everything's great. We have an event today, which is really fun for high school students.
Yeah.
So it's called the Finance and Investment Challenge Bowl. So it's like the old time quiz bowl kind of model taking place today at Mid-State Technical College. We have 24 teams from 7 local high schools. And that's the most. That's our top capacity. So that's really cool. It is a bracketed tournament where the representatives from each school, and I believe they can have 3 to 4 members per team. So of these 24 teams, it's again bracketed. They go up against each other on their financial knowledge. So this is practical personal finance. This is also kind of some bigger finance knowledge and investing and understanding how a lot of those different aspects of the financial world work. And so it's really cool. I think it's awesome that we have 7 school districts from around the area participating. I think the first round of competition kicks off at 8:30 this morning, and will progress throughout the day. So that's really fun. Looking forward to getting over there this afternoon and checking that out. Ben from our team is there and getting everybody organized. And it's just a cool opportunity, a really cool learning opportunity for these kids that we can put in place where, they have to do a bunch of prep work on the front side and really show what they know.
A couple things. One, I think that would be an awesome, like, I don't know where we would fit it, but I would love to put it on our radio station. I think that would be really audio-wise. I think that would work out
just
fine.
Yeah,
I think that would be really cool to hear. So maybe next year we can work in on something like that. We'll talk.
Sure.
But more importantly, this is a cool opportunity for these kids. It's a great way for them to kind of sneakily learn some finances and things like that that are going to be only going to benefit them going forward. But what a cool thing for the community too. We like competition, but we also like friendly competition.
Sure.
We like a good rivalry, but we also like to brag, and you get all these little mixed of things all in a good atmosphere.
Well, and sometimes we end up, you know, let's say top three teams. Sometimes it's three different schools. One year we had it was three teams from the same school. You know what I mean? So there was some.
That's interesting.
You know,
that's
so cool. Then it's interesting, and you wonder about how they're, you know, are they taught different? You know what I mean? If that's how, then the rest, if they end up in the top. Yeah. But I think this also brings an opportunity for kids to get into the technical college setting,
right,
and check that out. This is just win-win-win, right? Like, it's great. It's sponsored by many of our local financial institutions, mm-hmm, so that's really awesome because there is some cost with this event. And then the other big thing is volunteers. So each room needs two judges, needs a scorekeeper, and needs somebody that is the facilitator of the questions. So so if we have six different room competitions going on at once, you know, that's, you know, we need four volunteers in each room.
Yeah.
So a lot of those are also coming to us from local financial institutions. So it's cool. And I think that if these students have or aspire at some point in time to be in the financial industry, they're now making some connections with professionals in that role. So it's just a really, really great event. This is the fourth time that we have offered this event. And so, you know, just really looking forward to seeing what the day brings.
I cannot wait to hear how this all unfolds and goes for everybody. It's going to be a really fun event, a really fun day for everyone. And a shout out to Mid-State, as always. We're very fortunate to have a tech school, not just a tech school in our area, but that particular Mid-State with those particular people running
exactly.
It and everything. Really, really just a great, you know, great place.
Yeah. So outside of today, what we have going on, we have we are currently selling Power of the Purse tickets. So Power of the Purse is 1 month away. It is Tuesday, March 14th, Bullseye Golf Club at 5:00. We look forward to seeing all the ladies from town there.
Yeah.
It is a handbag silent auction is the major part of the event, but we also have raffles and different opportunities to sponsor kids in Imagination Library and really, you know, meant to kind of be a happy hour event, fun engagement opportunity. So I encourage women to check that out. Guys, you can buy tickets for your favorite gal. That would be awesome as well. And then we also have two different raffles going on right now. So one is our there's a raffle in conjunction with Power of the Purse, and that is where you can get tickets. Yeah, you can find information about that on Facebook. You can get tickets to win a Michael Kors purse and wallet that we have.
Nice.
So sometimes people can't attend the event, so this is a need not be present kind of opportunity. Those tickets are $1 a piece or 6 for $5. And then we also have our calendar raffle, and the calendar raffle is for the month of April, but we are selling tickets now. And the way a calendar raffle works is for each business day of April, we will do a drawing for a cash prize. We were very fortunate. We had all of our prizes sponsored, so all of the ticket sales go toward our campaign.
Yeah.
And so each day we will draw for cash prizes. Our top prize is $200 on certain days, but overall we're giving away $2,000 in cash. And when you get... if your name gets drawn, it goes back in. So that's really
crazy.
Awesome.
Are
fun.
Are you sure you want to do that?
I'm sure.
Okay, all right,
I'm absolutely sure. And so those are $10 each or 3 for $20. So again, a really, you know, really good investment. Those are for sale. All of our board members have them, but we also just have them at the United Way office at 351 Oak Street. You can get any of those tickets that I just referenced, or you can certainly get in touch with us and we're happy to come to you, you know, if that's easier or makes more sense. We actually had a local business contact us earlier this week and say, I got a bunch of people over here that want to buy those calendar raffle tickets. And so we were like, okay, we'll be right over.
Nice,
right. You know, like that's all good. So We encourage people to get involved in that way. You might win something, which makes it really fun. And, you know, those are kind of the big things going on. Our funding application is out right now. So programs, agencies in the community that have a program that work toward the United Way Agenda for Change, they can apply for funding. That deadline is February 28th at 4 o'clock. And those that's in our strategy areas of education and health. The other programs are funded already through 2024, but education and health can request 2024 funding. And then Cabin Fever Challenge that runs the whole month of February. This is just a bingo style card where you complete some different activities. If you don't see anything on our list, which is really long, a list of ideas, if you don't see anything there, you can do your own thing. We just ask you to fill out the bingo card, get that in so that you can qualify for some cool family fun prize baskets. And then, of course, My Free Taxes is available by visiting our website. This is a tax service that United Way Worldwide partners with Tax Slayer on to help people file taxes at low or no cost to them. So all of this information can be found on our website at uwswac.org, or you certainly can check us out on social media, Facebook and Twitter.
And do so. Be sure to follow along on those. It's a great follow and it's a great way to keep up on things at the United Way. With all of these events, they are investments. They are, whether it's a raffle, it is, being a part of any of these things, you are putting back into your community. And that not only feels good, but you, as Terry May said, you may win things too. That always is a
that
nice
makes it
thing.
Fun, that right? Make like, really you fun know. Thing. People get excited. I'm excited. We're excited when we get to give it away.
People love to give things away. People love raffles.
Those are the most fun calls to make, honestly.
Yes. 100%. I believe you. I get it.
I mean, you never ever go, oh, I won $100. Are you kidding?
Look, you know what? I'm not really in the mood. Could you give it to somebody who finished second? Who came in? Nobody does that. Nobody does that. We are going to, that is all good stories of the day. Every little bit of that. And I want to touch on it a little bit more before we wrap up, of course. But there is one other good story of the day I wanted to start things off with. And it is from, I really apologize if I'm mispronouncing this. I looked up how to pronounce words from this country and I hope I get this right. Jari Luama, and it's from a Jari Luama, and I'll just go ahead and read this. Hello and greetings from the Finnish Lapland. My name is Jari. I am an AM radio enthusiast from Finland. I have a surprise for you. I heard your radio station WFHR here in Finland, 600,339 kilometers from Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin. I would greatly appreciate receiving your confirmation of my recipient of this from the station.
That is really cool.
I listened to your station on January 29th on the frequency 1320 AM. I was able to pick up this station ID by a male voice, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM, WFHR, 1320.
Who's that?
I don't know. Somebody's probably not even here anymore. I live in the southeast of Finland and traveled 800 kilometers by train and the last 400 kilometers by car just to catch AM stations that are particularly possible in Lapland. Daily hikes in nature to check antennas is a daily routine, and it takes me every day to the wild and beautiful nature. Thank you for reading this post. I wish you and the entire radio station all the best. AMDX lives strong in Finland, hoping to hear from you soon.
Have a new pen pal.
We have a new pen pal out there, everybody. We say a good morning to our new friend, Jari, hoping that he is having a very good afternoon, I believe, out there.
That is awesome.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
You better
that
write him back.
Cool. Oh, yeah, we are. And in fact,
I think he needs a t-shirt, too. I think you should hustle up his address and get something going.
We are definitely doing some stuff like that. We have a new listener out in the New York area that we're going to send some stuff to. Melissa had the idea of, I thought was really good. Our GM and engineer and really the one of the faces of this station, Chuck Gennaro, definitely the one of the voices of this station. Chuck actually has a friend who lives up in the Swedish Lapland area. So
really?
I think we'll both end up writing this person. But it was just a really cool moment. Wanted to share this with everybody.
That's super cool.
It's fun that we get we haven't gotten
I always think when you say they're listening, you're just pulling our legs.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. It's a really it'd be a really silly thing to lie about, but it would also you know, I get where you're coming from.
You know, like, our listeners in Sweden.
Why are they listening in Sweden?
That's really cool.
We're doing something here people enjoy all over the world, and that's all thanks to the best listeners in radio. Every one of you guys out there, we appreciate you and appreciate our sponsors, certainly in Civic Media, helping us be streaming, helping us podcast, and all these different things. I want to remind you that you can find out everything that you need at Civic Media. You can go right there and catch all of our podcasts, as well as all of us we're streaming there. Wherever you get your podcasts or wherever you're streaming things, Spotify, Apple, Google, we're all over the map on there. Otherwise, you can go to civicmedia.us and find all the rest of our work, all of our great company, all of our great shows that we have here, the original content we're putting out here at Civic Media.
That is really cool.
Yeah, it's a fun moment. That's fun.
I like that.
Yeah, be a good way
I like
to start
that.
The show.
Do you remember, like, when you were a kid, the old dial, you know, dial radios? I'm not suggesting people don't have those anymore, but you know what I mean? And all of a sudden you'd land on something and it was like something you've never heard before, but you can't place where, you know, it was probably somewhere local-ish, but you just couldn't place at all.
I was flipping through the radio when I first moved out here, and I come across this crazy sounding guy, and he starts playing this like weird polka type music that I'd never heard before.
Was it Tim?
And I really enjoyed it. I don't normally listen to polka or anything like that. And I liked the way he was talking. He was talking very, you know, just kind of natural on the air and everything. And yes, it was Tim, the polka guy. And it was one of the first voices, along with like Terry Steak, first voices I remember hearing here at the station. But this was the first radio station that I turned on to when I first moved into this town. And then eventually 89.9, the college station and Point and everything. They are the ones that actually, I'm listening to them and I hear Dr. Demento for the first time and Weird Al and all that stuff. And so many bands that I love
to
this
day. They
were
like cutting edge.
It really was, actually, back in the day. Back in the day, it really was. Because I'm old.
It was, and I don't know if cutting edge is the right word, but it was edgy.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It was definitely on the fringe.
It's funny to say it, I know, to some people, especially longtime listeners out there, but even what WFHR was doing was a little edgy to us because we didn't listen to a lot of talk radio.
Yeah.
And hearing all the great personalities on this station, I don't know if I could say I grew up on this station because I moved out here when I was a teenager and everything, but I pretty much did. And it feels so good to not only are we still going strong, but we are more alive than we've ever been. And think of that for any business over 80 plus years old to be able to say that. That's
for sure.
We're very lucky, very fortunate to have that. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun. Hopefully safe, good fun where we don't get in trouble. We'll come right back on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you, and it's time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this February 15th. 7:24 on the clock, and it is National Gumdrop Day.
Oh, do you like gumdrops?
I haven't had one in ages. I didn't mind them when I was young, but I don't know. I probably haven't had one since I was a kid.
I kind of like the, I don't know about just the regular fruit flavor ones, but like the spicy ones.
Okay.
The white ones have like that. I don't know. I like the spicy.
I remember those.
But yeah, I don't even know where you get them. Fleet Farm, maybe? They have like old candy, like they have like ribbon candy there. And
they
those,
still have
and
a lot of that
dots
stuff.
Dots
yeah,
that are on paper, you know, those candy dots on paper. Why did we lick paper?
Why did we do that? But they were so good. You're so right about this. I don't know what our parents or anybody was thinking.
At least we weren't licking windows, but true.
But my goodness, that actually just reminded me of something. I remember my sister, my mom saying, "Now, Jillian, you can have one piece of candy." And she chose the strip. And sure enough, like, she'd walk into the room and had, like, dots all over her face pretty much.
Here, I thought you were going to say your mom told her she could have one of those dots.
Yeah, yeah. That's what she meant was, like, maybe a couple or
like
that.
Like a couple rows.
Jill had, like, the whole, like, page or whatever. Huh. So what is the history behind the gumdrop and when did it start? Gumdrops were believed to be invented by Percy Truesdale in 1801. However, many still debate about the history of gumdrops and how they came to be. Interesting. Gumdrops, the brightly colored Pectian candy shaped like domes, are also called spice drops from the variety of spices they contain, such as cinnamon and clove. The term gumdrops was first documented during the 1850s when it appeared in the Illinois State Chronicle as it was reported on a candy shop owned by George Julier.
Huh.
Interesting. The great debate continues.
I don't like stuff stuck in my teeth, so I don't love them.
It's probably why I kind of, yeah.
But
yeah.
They're not horrible.
It is Singles Awareness Day, of course, right after...
what does it even mean, Singles Awareness?
Because everybody needs to be represented now. It isn't enough that we... Because representation is one of the more important things in society. It truly is. There are plenty of examples of it. I'm not going to go ad nauseum.
So
right,
we have to be aware that some people are single.
But yes, it goes so far. This is it's the same thing with like PC culture and a lot of these things, where they all start out with very good intentions, and I think needed intentions, important intentions, and some things just go too far, I think. Is it important to represent people that are single? Yeah, we like being represented. We like having, you know, some attention or whatever. We could do that. I feel like you could do that yourself. Like, just because people
one
are celebrating think. Valentine's Day. I actually, the Galentine's Day thing, I like.
Oh, yeah,
I
that's
dig
cute.
That. I think that's kind of cool.
It's cute.
Anything that brings, you know, women more and more together and more camaraderie there, that's a good thing. Singles don't need camaraderie. Like, we don't, we
it's
already understand what it is to
weird.
Be. It is what it is, and I get it, but at the same time, it's just like, come on, it seems like a little overdone. It seems like a little
too much. Are we
supposed
to cue up the violins or what?
Yeah, you know, the other part of this too, I will say one angle of this that I think that is noticeable is the okayness with being alone, that it's okay to be alone, that it's okay, society understanding some people like to be alone, some people are better that way, work better that way, maybe just haven't gotten to that point in their life where they are looking for somebody or want something like that. We're all raised, even the youngest generations in many ways, with the whole, you have to grow up, have a significant other, have 2.5 kids and a white picket fence. And if you don't do this by 25, you're failing.
I don't have a fence.
Yeah, see, you failed, Terry. Sorry. You did everything else right, but you didn't have the white picket fence.
I also don't have a half a kid anywhere, but, you know, that I know of.
I think that normalizing these things is important, but I also think that it can be overdone with the whole hashtag Single Awareness Day. I mean, it just seems a little... some stuff, if we overdo it, then where's the meaning? How much does it mean? If you say I love you every 5 seconds, how much meaning does it have by the end of the day?
Right.
Annoy Squidward Day is the next one on here. I figured, okay. My kids did like SpongeBob, so I did figure that's where this was going. While a lot of random days throughout the year may exist, does it get any more random than Annoy Squidward Day? This is certainly the kind of day that we love if you are a fan of SpongeBob SquarePants. You will know exactly who Squidward is.
What if you're not a fan?
If you're not a fan, I like the idea of you just being confused. I think that's fun. You know, isn't it fun sometimes to just be a little in this day and age where we can we have these supercomputers we walk around with, and if I want to know who won the '85 World Series, I can just look it up on my phone. It's nice to be a little like unsure, like a little
fair enough.
I don't know who Squidward is. That's fun.
I don't like SpongeBob, but I do know who Squidward is.
Ah, wow.
I don't really know why we need to annoy him.
I have no idea why. Yeah.
Okay.
Annoy Squidward Day has come to light as a consequence of an episode on the animated series SpongeBob SquarePants, which is called Employee of the Month. Squidward is easily irritated by SpongeBob, and it's a day to be this. How are you supposed to celebrate this day? What is the point of this? Celebrating this day can be loads of fun, and we offer plenty of suggestions to get involved. What are those suggestions? I don't know. So
just basically just trying to annoy whoever you're working with. This might be fun for the next 2.5 hours.
I was just going to say, I can think of one person in particular that is really going to love this day for the next couple of hours. Yes.
Not that you're calling me annoying.
Not at all. Would never do something like that.
Careful.
Moving on.
Yeah.
You don't never know. World Hippo Day. Fancy waddling in a mud bath, getting angry with some tourists, and yawning a lot while opening your mouth really, really wide. Then World Hippo Day is a chance to celebrate these water-loving creatures. Sounds like the perfect occasion for you. Experts believe that the modern-day hippo evolved in Africa around 8 million years ago. While they bear a resemblance to horses and pigs, this semi-aquatic mammal are in fact most closely related to whales, dolphins, and porpoises.
Huh.
That is really cool. I didn't know that. That is really cool. Let's see here. There are days, these days, there are only two types of bog standard hippopotamuses and the smaller pygmy hippopotamus by a few other new, now extinct species could be found across Europe and in Madagascar as little as 1,000 years ago. Hippos are now most common in countries as Zimbabwe and Tasmania. In the 20th century, attempts that were made to introduce hippos into the U.S., the American Hippo Bill, raised in 1910, proposed introducing hippo ranching in Louisiana, not only to help control a particular plant that was taking over the bayous, but also to address the American meat crisis. However, the bill didn't quite make it through Congress, and so hippos remained in their native Africa until the 1980s, when the infamous drug cartel leader Pablo Escobar illegally imported them into Colombia.
Yeah, because I'm not sure I'm down for going in and ordering a hippo burger.
I don't know. I don't, you know, we had the Historic Point Boss guys in the other day, and we were talking about different meats that they're serving at that lunch, fundraiser that they're doing. And it got me thinking about all these different types of meats and what would I try, what wouldn't I try. I'm very biased about this. It comes down to animals I like. And not that I don't like cows or anything like that.
Right, but we've eaten beef our whole life.
Right,
I mean,
right.
That's but different.
There's certain, that makes no sense. I'm not saying it makes any sense or anything, but that is definitely what it comes down to for me.
I'm not opposed to trying different things. Like my, so I come from a family of hunters, right? Mm-hmm. And so wild game, and I'm not just talking like venison, but other small game. I'll always try, like my dad and my brothers will hunt that, and my mom will prepare it because they like it. So they'll kind of do like a little small game feed. And I'll try it. I don't necessarily love it, but I'll try stuff.
Moving to Wisconsin helped me be less of a picky eater. I came here, and as bad as I am of an eater, I was even worse before moving here. My dad he was working at a factory, working on a construction job, comes home. He's like, hey, guys, you guys have tried this meat and everything. So we tried it. It was burger. It was really good. And then he told us like halfway through that it was venison. And just, didn't understand. We'd never had venison. Of all the foods we had had in Chicago, that was one we hadn't had. Trying something different like that, I enjoyed it. I liked it. I enjoyed venison. I love beef jerky venison, mm-hmm. like or jerky venison.
Yeah.
That's really good. That kind of helped me like, well, if that was good, maybe I should try other meats. And I've been pretty good about it for the most part, but I haven't been around like ostrich or a lot of those different
or
types.
Or like rabbits or squirrel or like...
I was talking to a friend of mine.
A lot of different birds.
Yeah, a friend of mine down south, she was telling me we were actually doing this, going through different animals and stuff, because she had heard the interview with the Historic Point Boss guys. And she mentioned, I'm surprised they don't serve snake. I'm like, what are you talking about? She's like, oh, we eat snake all the time down here. Like in Louisiana, in Texas, they do. This is just one person telling me.
I've seen it on different menus, like snake bites, but like in the appetizers. So I don't know. Like to me, that's just a little weird. Like what do they do? Like slice it? Slice it and deep fry it?
Yeah.
Or it's like deep fried pickles, only it's snake inside?
When it comes to a meat I'm not sure of, I usually go with barbecue sauce. Like it just seems like a good one, just like a good go-to. I don't know. We'll take a quick commercial break. I did want to mention part of the reason it is National Hippo Day is because of bringing awareness to those animals and making sure that we are keeping them around.
Absolutely.
We've lost a lot of species of hippo, so it's important to bring that awareness to that. And I know that hippos are one of those fun animals that you don't want to see maybe in real life.
A lot of kids want them for Christmas.
They do. Well, this pygmy hippo, that sounds pretty cool. I want to take a look at those. I got to look more into that. We'll
I love that song.
It took me a minute. I got it, but it took me a second. It's been a while.
It's a rough morning, folks.
It really is. It really is. gotta watch your tongue sometimes in the morning. Take a quick commercial break. I'll do that, and we'll come back, and we'll after Melissa's
go
news.
Go wash your mouth out with soap.
I have to, yes. Only partially, though. Only partially. Coming up, we got the 10 most common laundry fails right here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here at WFHR. Serious comedy starts your day. Got a little warmer all of a sudden. I'm a sucker for Duran Duran. No argument here. Moving on the floor now, baby, you're a bird of paradise. Cherry ice cream, smile, I suppose it's very Seth doesn't know what he's done to me with these 80s bumpers. Since he's done this, I especially on the weekend, I find like these songs get stuck in my head and I go down this rabbit hole of 80s songs.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It reminds you of this one or of that one, or you pull up that certain album or whatever. Yeah, I agree. Although this is not a go-to for me.
No. Yeah. Duran Duran or
Duran
Rio?
Duran. Okay. No, Duran Duran.
Okay, interesting. We're pretty alike on a lot
of the
80s
stuff.
Yeah, I was a big fan, Duran Duran. Big fan. I wanted to mention something I was touching on the previous segment. The Historic Point Bus is presenting Wakely's Winter Feast. That is coming up this Saturday. Encourage you to check this out. The gathering will begin at 4, feast at 4:50, and the program will kick off at 6:30. All of this at the Nakusa Area Senior Community Center. You can get your tickets for this at our friends at Family Natural Foods. We say a good morning to them. Beaver's Variety Store in Nakusa and Daily Drug here in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to get those tickets. Check that out. It is not only a fundraiser and a way to help them keep history alive over there at the Historic Point Boss. It's a really fun evening. A lot of different meats along with some, you know, the regular kind of meats that you would expect. They have all kinds of different meals for people if you don't want meat and that kind of thing. They covered all their bases.
That's cool. Well, I mean, if you think about it, right? Back then, you ate what you hunted.
Yes.
I mean, that was the reality. So I think it's neat that they do that.
I don't know if I'll be able to go this year. I've got to get there one of these years, though. That sounds like such a fun event. And I'm so happy for them. Encourage everybody to check that out and find out more about the Historic Point Boss at historicpointboss.com.
You have a date on Saturday or what?
I have work. I always have work. The most common laundry fails. That's what we're going to get into next
year.
I have been doing my own laundry since I was about 10, maybe a little younger. It was just one way to help out my mom, and it was something that I enjoyed doing. I also didn't know until I was a older teenager that my mom did not gave me what I couldn't mess up. Like, she didn't give me pink shirts.
Oh, well, you have to be strategic. Yeah. She didn't give you red with white, right?
Exactly, yes.
So here's just a little tip for you. Mm. If you find yourself in the future cohabitating with someone, you know, like a significant other, keep doing your own laundry.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, Randy does his own laundry.
Yeah.
He always
has.
And I'm like, he was doing laundry way before he met me. Why is it assumed that I'll take over the laundry?
I don't think I could let somebody else
but
do it.
But you know what I mean? Like,
that's
one of the things that we are definitely, like, teaming up on, right?
Like,
you know, he's doing his, I'm doing mine, and then we're doing the household stuff. So that's always been a really cool thing. So keep that chore for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, I recommend that to anybody out there and stuff. And while you're doing your own laundry, here are some things to watch out for. And almost half of us have done all of these, if not especially number one. So I'll go through this list. You want to start at 10 or number one? It does look like they have it in order here.
Oh, okay. Well, all right, let's start at the least damaging. So that's probably 10, huh?
Leaving gadgets in pockets like AirPods or your phone.
AirPods, I don't recommend this, but AirPods do make it through the washer and dryer. You could talk to my oldest daughter about that. But they do. Which is quite remarkable about that technology, honestly.
I haven't done that, but I've done the pen thing. I've left a pen in my pocket or something.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen, we don't get a lot of stuff coming through ours, but one time, oh my goodness, the car that my daughter drives now, it has a so you have like a key fob, but you don't, it's a push button, so you never have to get it out as long as it's in the car with you.
Okay.
So it was right after we got that car, and I had it in my pocket, and I washed it. And they are like $300, that little
key. They are, yeah.
And I was like, I was freaking out because I'd never do that. But I was able to pop it open and it dried, and it was fine. Heart attack. Heart attack. Like,
God,
no kidding.
So, using too much fabric softener on towels. If they're coated with too much of it, they can't absorb water as well.
Okay. I get that.
Huh.
But, I mean, how much, like, who's going to pour the whole bottle of fabric softener into a load of laundry?
Usually there's
some kind of a holder for it, right? Like a little, if you have an agitator, there's a cup in the middle, or there's a little drawer. I mean, there's somewhere for it. Like, how much could you possibly put in?
They've dumbed it down so much that even I can't mess it up, kind of thing.
To coat a whole load of towels?
Yeah, I don't know how you do it. Like, unless you're trying to, you're just pouring it on each towel or something. I don't know. Staining clothes because of a dirty or rusty washing machine.
That can.
I think that can happen. Yeah. And you know, for a while it seemed like, and I'm sure they still have them, but for a while I was noticing they were constantly marketing like those washing machine cleaners. You know, like you would run a cycle with this other. And but I don't know. I don't use one.
No. Putting detergent, fabric softener, or bleach in the wrong department or compartment.
Yeah. I could see that.
I could see, yeah. I haven't done that, but I could see easily doing
it. But if you put, like, bleach in the, you know, because typically your bleach compartment lets go when there's water in there, so it becomes diluted. But could you, yeah, we if you put it in with the detergent.
We grew up going to laundromats. And with those, like, especially as much as we moved and everything, every place they would have a different washer or dryer, sure. And they had a different compartment or something, or some kind of setting that you weren't familiar with. And that's the next one, shrinking stuff by washing it on the wrong setting. I haven't done that, but I could see easily doing it.
Definitely.
Cramming too much stuff into the wash so it doesn't get clean enough. Terry, I was just hit over the head by guilt that I cannot even express because I've done this. I did this so many times as a teenager, and my mom got so frustrated, angry with me. I guarantee it was one of the top five things my mother was frustrated with me about because I would try to get everything in at once.
Yeah.
And I learned, you know, you don't want to break the washer and everything, but I came dang close a couple
times.
But
it's a teenager thing, I would definitely say.
Yeah.
I finally found... Like a laundry bin, you know, it's not like a basket, but like a hamper kind of thing.
Yeah.
That is literally like a perfect load size.
Ooh,
so I always tell my kids, I'm like, when it's full, you don't pack it. Ooh. Like, don't pack it down.
Yeah.
If you need to do it, you know, if we need to do another load, fine, but do not pack it.
Being honest, I could probably still use that. I could probably still use that.
Well, and you know, the other thing is the wash machines now, if you have a newer one, and by newer, I use that loosely, like in purchase in the last like 10, 15 years, they use a lot less water.
Mm.
So like if you really pack it, yeah, they're not getting clean.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Forgetting to put clean clothes in the dryer so you have to wash them again.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah.
That smell.
That smell. Yes. Leaving loose change in your pocket so it rattles around
in the dryer.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes. Done that many times. Yes. Leaving one dark item in your whites and it ruins his stuff. I haven't done that, but I feel like it's just a matter of time. I feel like the fact that I haven't done it already is actually the problem that I have. Like, because if I had gotten that out of my system early, maybe I'd have remembered.
Like, you know, it's a group of like adult men in the locker room at the Y or something, and a couple of them have pink underwear.
Yes.
Not purchased pink.
No, turned pink. Yes. There's a Simpsons episode where Homer's shirt gets pinked because of Bart's red hat, and he gets sent to an insane asylum because of it, and that's where he meets Michael Jackson, and that's where Michael Jackson jumps into that episode.
Oh, really? Why was Michael Jackson there for dangling his kid over the railing?
That was actually before that, I think. Even.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
I'm just throwing it out there.
And Michael like took that role, like they kind of offered it to him, but he kind of like also took it. So,
earned it.
Yeah. And finally, the top of the list, leaving a tissue in a pocket and it disintegrates in the wash.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah.
Or especially if it's darks.
They don't have the worst culprit on this list for me, at least. And I don't even eat that much gum, but leaving gum in your pocket. And it ruined, like, it may not look like it on the outside.
Right.
But that outfit or that clothes or that jeans, that shirt, whatever, ruined.
And it can get, if you catch it before you go from washer to dryer, you're usually okay.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Obviously, you got to throw the gum away. Well, I mean, you probably want to throw the gum away.
Probably.
But once it hits the dryer, yeah, you're, somebody.
Yeah.
Someone, an adult male that I live with. One time, gum went through, I mean, and I was able to, I got it off, but it was all over the inside of my dryer.
Oh,
ugh.
Yeah.
That was horrible.
Yeah.
It did not make me start doing his laundry, though. So if it was a ploy, this is a long line. I don't even have that dryer anymore, but it was just like, oh, no, you know?
It's rough.
And once it's done, it's done.
There's no, one of those things. They haven't come up with a cleaning system yet.
No going back.
Like no. We're going to go to a break here, but right before we do have some breaking news. Scottish First Minister Nicola Sturgeon made the unexpected announcement this morning that she would be resigning from government after 8 years in the role. I don't know how much this affects your everyday listener out there or anything, but it did feel like something we should report on. You can find out more about that, I imagine, in CBS's News' break coming up here. And certainly wherever you, you know, your trusted news sources out there. Maybe Civic will be covering it a little bit later. But interesting when this stuff happens anytime, I think it's worth noting.
For sure.
Even if it's not next door to us or anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We got more fun for you lined up here on the morning show at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates. Stick around, everybody. At the top of the hour, CBS News will do their thing, and afterwards, we'll get a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, let you know what Mother Nature's got in store for you today and coming up. And after that, we're going to get into a fun one, 8 Things an Average American Does. I'm going to dive into that a little bit.
Is this going to be weird stuff like pick your nose and that kind of stuff?
We'll find out.
All right.
We're talking Americans here. It's going to be weird. It's going to be. Speaking of our fellow Americans out there, a new study ranked all 50 states from the most sinful to the least sinful. Or really from most sinful to slightly less sinful, but still very sinful.
So Bible Belt or not?
Yeah, really. That's a good way to look at it. The rankings are based on stats that match up with 7 deadly sins like crime rates for wrath, theft rates for jealousy, fast food joints per capita for gluttony, casinos for greed, that kind of thing. You get where this is going.
It's very interesting.
Yeah. In the end, they found that I think it's just be interesting just to like the way that they came up with the idea of doing this, let alone like coming up with the stats to actually figure this out. And I don't know how like reliable any of this is. It's just kind of interesting.
Yeah.
In the end, they found that Nevada is number one, home of Sin City, so it isn't surprising. And the least sinful state is Wyoming. Again, not too surprising, not a huge population, and not a lot of these kind of like outliers.
Not a lot of fast food?
Yes, yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what the biggest fast food joint in Wyoming is. I don't know. The 10 most sinful states are Nevada, California, Louisiana, Florida, Pennsylvania, Texas, Tennessee, Illinois, South Carolina, and New York.
So the only one to me that I wonder why, or two that I wonder why they're there, mm-hmm. and I'm just clearly just missing something. Pennsylvania, why would Pennsylvania be there?
Philadelphia fans. No, I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know why.
And what about South Carolina?
That's an interesting. I'm glad you saw that too. Yeah, that stood out to me too.
You know what I mean? Like the other ones, I can easily pick out, right? Like Tennessee's there because of Nashville.
Right.
I mean, I'm not saying that's bad, but you know what I mean?
Illinois, Chicago. I mean, yeah, Florida. We can go through all of these here. It's understandable.
Okay. Illinois,
sure. Yeah. Well, I would say Chicago. I don't think Southern Illinois is as sinful as Northern Illinois. They're two very almost two different states when you think about it. Whereas Florida, like you don't hear that in Florida. You don't hear, well, this is the only crazy part of Florida right here in Key West. It's not like the whole state doesn't have some claims to that.
All right.
The least sinful states are Wyoming, Idaho, New Hampshire, Vermont, Iowa, Connecticut, South Dakota, Utah, Nebraska, and Maine.
You had to know Utah was going to get it.
Yeah. And again, very similar to the Wyoming thing, not a lot of population in a lot of those states. So I think that that's part of the reason why you're seeing some of that. That's always going to be an outlier.
So it is funny. So they just, I mean, all of those factors that they're using are legit stats, right? Like that you can pull. So, I mean, that makes sense. But I think it's kind of funny how they like spin that into sinfulness.
Yes.
And I guess it just depends upon your level of, right, like belief or, you know, how much weight you put on the word sin. Sinful. But I just think that that's funny that that's how they spin it.
The reporter was curious, so they searched the Wyoming news feed to find things going on, and things look very wholesome. It's been reported, according to the Wyoming Department of Health, that there are some rates going up there that they're a little concerned about. The state is advancing a bill that would make it easier for people in Wyoming to consume alcohol while throwing axes, darts, and chicken roping. So things are interesting over there. They've got some interesting stuff going on in Wyoming. We say good morning to our friends in Wyoming.
I don't know.
I'm curious about the South Carolina thing. Going back a little bit, I thought that was interesting.
Really? I'm curious about chicken roping.
Yes, thank you. Okay, I didn't know if that was, I was going to sound like a city boy.
Is this like calf roping where you like wrestle it to the ground and then rope it? Or is this like lassoing it?
Terry,
I would think their little head could just slide right out.
Yeah, Terry, I'm thinking that you are absolutely
that 100% is a really
right.
big rope for a chicken.
That is a yeah. We just quickly Googled chicken roping.
Are
here.
These like human sized chickens?
And we're gonna see how this goes for the. We got two good old boys out there, and they are just having some fun. They got a ton of chickens out there, and they are roping the chickens.
That's why they have a half an hour of their little dance move there because look at that took him like a hot second.
Yeah, it took him one of them got away, but yeah, he roped the other one and what did he get it around the neck?
Yep. So just like just like roping a calf.
This yeah, but this is I'm sorry. I know I'm a city boy. This is
above my
pay grade. This looks lame as all get out to me. This looks like a bunch of people who couldn't rope real things, roping chickens.
So they went
like
after chickens?
Yeah, yeah. Like, oh, I can't get a cattle, but I, you know.
It might be a thing.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure it is. I wholeheartedly
it could be a new fundraiser idea, right? Chicken roping.
That might be interesting. Chickens are also like a lot more aggressive than I ever realized.
And
a
lot of people don't like.
Are.
Like, it's kind of funny. My aunt and uncle have some layers, so I have some chickens for eggs. And when they're gone, they'll ask my girls to go collect the eggs because there's eggs every day. But if they are sitting, if they are roosted, like you don't want to reach your hand under them. Like you want to scoot them out. Because it's kind of scary, even though they're littler than you.
Oh, my ex, her grandparents live in Kellner, and they've got some chickens out there. And I went out there one time. We were looking for antler shells, or what do you call
sheds.
Them? Sheds.
Yep.
Thank you. Sheds.
Yep.
We're out there looking for those, and we come back, and there's all these chickens there. And I thought, oh, look at all these chickens. I didn't think much of it. And her sister and her go like pretty much booking to the house. And I'm just out there. Before I know it, I'm on a picnic table, basically, surrounded by these chickens, just all staring up at me and clicking at me and everything like that. Like, I haven't eaten chicken in years. It's not my fault that you lost your uncle. I'm sorry. I didn't do it. Not me. I do love chicken, actually. I do love chicken. Don't tell them that, though.
Eat more chicken.
Yes. Stick around, everybody. We got CBS News coming up, and after that, a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, Terry and James, taking you through your morning at WFHR.